Dirt Doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me and talk about gardening or landscaping or whatever is on your mind. It's 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by Garrett Juice Pro, which is made by the Maestro Grow Company. And you can go to their website, which is Maestro, let's see, it's Maestro-Grow, G-R-O, no W, .com, and see information on the Pro product, which contains beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi, and there are other products that are there as well. I wanted to tell you about an event I'm going to be speaking at this week, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock in Fort Worth. I haven't done a lot of this, and so wanted to let you know about it. I'm speaking to the Fort Worth Organic Gardening Club, and they meet at the beautiful Fort Worth Botanical Gardens. And if you haven't been over there in a while, it might be a good opportunity to drop by before and check out everything. Britt is there now, right next door to him, Botanical Research Institute of Texas, that you hear me talk about. They do great research and can help you identify plants. In fact, they've been helping me with one plant this week that I think has stumped everybody a little bit. I didn't know for sure what it was, and they aren't 100% sure. It looks kind of like a cornus of a dogwood of some kind, but it looks a little different. It's got some funny things. We'll put it when we finally figure out what it is or come as close to it as we can. I'll put it on Facebook so everybody can see it. It's a beautiful plant. It has white flowers on it. It almost looks like a cross between an elderberry and a cornus of dogwood. My elderberries are in full bloom right now, is the reason I thought about that. And looking really pretty in the garden. A lot of flowers aren't looking that good because of all the rain and the cloudy days and everything. So there's kind of a mixed bag going on there just a little bit. But anyway, it'll be I'll be speaking there, talking about some of the latest things that we've been working on and stumbling into and seeing, and some of the techniques that I'm using myself, and talking about all that. So again, Fort Worth Organic Gardening Club, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock at the Botanical Gardens. If you want to come by as a guest and be a part, they said that's fine. And also, if you want to join up, if you're from Fort Worth, might be a good thing to consider doing as well. Victor in Longview's next up. Hello, Victor.
Hello. Grass and weed control in flower beds. I believe you've spoken before about, was it newspaper or cardboard, laying it down and then mulching over the top of that to try and keep it down?
Well, that's one of the techniques that works really well, and it works on some of the hardest to control weeds like Bermuda grass. It's a deal that you have to do it where there's bare soil around the plant, so you can get down to the bare soil in a bed that's just thick with, you know, existing planting. It would be difficult to do.
Well, I'm redoing the front of my house, and that's why I was going to do this while everything is bare and nothing's in there.
Okay, well, that'd be a good time to do it.
Now, when you're talking about cardboard, are you talking about like the thick board or a box type of cardboard, or like the cardboard that would be like in, say, like Coke or soft drink soda can cases?
Well, you could actually do either one. The problem with the soda can thing, the ink on it might have some heavy metals in it and things like that. So just plain cardboard would be better. But on the other hand, some people have done this technique with newspaper and had good success. And if it's landscaping stuff rather than food crops, that's fine. You need to do about four or five layers if you go the newspaper route. If you go cardboard, you just use the regular cardboard, just one thickness. And it's best if you first put down dry molasses, broadcast it in there like our normal application of 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet, two pounds per 100 square feet, in other words, and then put a thin layer of for an ideal situation, a thin layer of compost over that.
Okay.
Then the paper over the top of that, and then the mulch, shredded tree trimmings, native mulch over the paper or cardboard, so you completely cover it up. You don't see any of that.
Okay. And so, what about brown paper bags?
That'd be fine. Yeah.
Okay. So I was worried about the it actually being able to breathe. I didn't know if that would choke off air and everything getting down into the soil or what. I wasn't sure on that.
With this technique, you're going to have biological activity set up real fast.
Okay.
And it's going to eat into the paper pretty quickly, and that's really not going to be a problem. We're kind of recreating the forest floor effect, but we're doing it with a solid piece added to it to keep the unwanted things from growing. It will completely shut down Bermuda grass, which is one of the most difficult weeds to control of all.
And that's what's in my bed. Okay. So that's, okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Now, it will be important for you to go ahead and dig as much of the weeds and the grass out as you can one last time. Mm-hmm. I know you can't get it all, but get it all right. out as much as you can. Then do the technique, and you'll be set.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the call.
All right, bye-bye.
And it looks like Daryl has some information for us about one of his strange plants that he's been dealing with. What's up?
Well, actually, this particular plant is not one I'm dealing with. It's one that East Texas is dealing with the way that we are dealing with hydrilla. Have you ever heard of Salvinia molesta?
Not really. Is this the little blue flower?
I've just sent you a link. And sorry, my voice is a little rough. Out there when I was doing this, the weather blew in and my voice blew out. But the fact is that while they're reintroducing the paddlefish, which is a very cool thing that I got to go do that, the paddlefish is like this ancient fish that predates dinosaurs, you know, that whole thing. But the problem that they're having in East Texas is this floating plant that's incredibly leaching of nutrients from the water.
Oh, wow.
It gets as deep as a meter, which means it will totally trash your boat motor if you try to, you know, plow through it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only biological that controls it is the Salvinia weevil. It's a tiny little critter, and so this guy is literally growing these shallow kiddie pools, basically, and tanks and whatnot of this stuff and letting the weevils develop beneath it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they're harvesting the weevils and releasing them into Caddo Lake and the surrounding river system. And they're a ways down the road from actually making big progress, but it's the only thing that they're finally, he's caught a lot of grief for doing this, just like you did, you know what I mean? The people who believe that conventional chemicals is the only way to handle anything, especially if it's really bad, it's worth doing no matter what it does to the water. But the fact is the numbers coming in that it does not work. And so this is the only biological control for Salvinia molesta. Your name came up more than once. In fact, it came up also at the bed and breakfast I stayed at. The lady, taking care of the place believes in organics, but apparently the owner had this one guy hired, and he told the groundskeeper that he needed one locked cabinet. He's like, why? Well, the guy showed me what was in it. I'm like, there's nothing in here you should be allowing to be done to this property. And he said, I couldn't agree more. So your name came up there as well. But, yeah, that particular invasive species, we're losing ground on it fairly fast. I saw it in the wild. Once I'd actually seen it there, it was pretty easy to recognize once we went down to the shore of Caddo Lake.
Well, I need to learn more about this, so I'll look into it. I'm delighted that they're trying this biological approach, because in Caddo Lake, they were spraying Roundup and rodeo and some bad stuff over there big time, and I was really concerned about that.
Well, this guy is the vanguard of the approach against it. He's an entomologist named Lee Eisenberg. Very, very nice guy. My new friend, actually. We had dinner together. He came and saw my show. The work that he's doing is really important.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's great. I want to meet him for sure.
All right. Well, I'll I've sent you a link, and I'll hook you guys up, no problem.
Okay, that'd be great.
Right.
Appreciate
Take
the
care.
Tip. Thanks, Daryl.
Take care.
All right. That sounds like something heading in the right direction, doesn't it? Rebecca is in Colleyville, and next up. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you for all you do. I appreciate all of your effort to...
I appreciate that, too. Let me apologize. I wasn't watching the clock. The birds are flying in. Can I put you on hold through this break, and then we won't be rushed?
No problem.
Okay, I'll be right back with you. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We'll be talking to Rebecca and more of you right after this, so don't go away. The website is dirtdoctor.com. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merged ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magoroku lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and Rebecca is back with us, I hope, here in Colleyville. Rebecca?
I'm still here.
Okay, what can I do for you?
Okay, first question, I'll try to keep it quick. Water is pooling at the base of my tree trunks. I have, over the last couple of years or whatever, been trying to get stuff off my trunks like you told us we need to do.
Okay.
You know, expose them.
All right.
And, you know, the problem is sometimes, you know, the site around it, you can't level all that out. So what I'm noticing lately, and it might just be a problem right now because of all this rain, but water is pooling down at the bottom of my trunks. My concern is that, do I have to worry about, like, rot?
No. If you look out the windows of my house, anywhere around the house, I've exposed trees, and you'll see water standing in the depression that has been created. And some of the trees, some of the big trees in the backyard, the big live oak and the big ginkgo, that we dramatically exposed the flares. I overdid it on purpose. I wanted to see, you know, what would happen. And what has happened is the trees are just doing spectacularly well. But they do hold water when it rains. But what you have to understand is that, yeah, it'll hold water, but it evaporates and it drains on out and leaches away and so forth after the rain stops, depending on how healthy your soil is. Mine goes away basically the same day as after the rain stops. Within a few hours, it will have drained out. But what you have to remember is that before you did the excavation and exposed the flare that created the basin that holds water when it rains, before you did that, there was soil on that area, and it was staying moist all the time. So we've created a situation where, yeah, it will hold water for a little while, but it doesn't last very long, and we've got a better situation than we used to have. Now, for people that have soil that's really high in silt or the tremendously dense clay that just takes days and days and days to drain out, what we recommend in those cases is to go ahead and use the same tools that you expose the flare with, but build a ditch, dig a ditch from the low side of that depression out into the garden to a lower place, and you can leave it open or you can fill it with gravel and have a physical drain line out of the basin. I rarely do that. We've done it on a few projects where it just took forever for it to evaporate and drain away, and we just did it to speed up the process of it drying out.
Well, based on what you've said, I think I'm going to give myself a pat on the back because I think maybe that means I did this right. If it's okay to, because it drains right after. I mean, it's like a lot of these are post oaks and blackjack oaks.
Uh huh.
And so it's kind of on a sandy.
Yeah, yeah,
area
good
anyway.
Soil. Sure.
Yeah, and I've added, you know, compost and some other, you know, the green sand and lava sand, things like that. Not overly, but just a little. And so I've tried to improve it some, but it's still sandy. I mean, it's draining. I mean, after it rains, it goes away. And it makes sense what you just said. Before, it was higher and it was sitting there, but then it was on a part of the tree that could end up actually being hazardous, I would think. Because I think once you get a little higher, if that part gets weak.
If the soil is up on the flare, it's up on the trunk. The flare is part of the trunk structure of the tree. It's not part of the root system. And that's why it's so damaging. It doesn't kill trees, but what it does is that it shuts them down. It shuts them down to where the growth is not very much. It's not anywhere near as much as it should be. And the production of flowers and fruit, if it's that kind of tree, are cut way down. Plus, it's stressing the tree, and you have more chances of insect and disease problems.
Okay.
If it's left on there long enough, you know, rot can set up and start moving into the tree and kill the tree. But that's not commonly what we see. Commonly what we see is it just shuts down the tree and it doesn't produce like it should.
Can I ask you another question? Thank you very much for that. That makes me feel so much better because I've been worried. And I
no, the water being in there for a short period of time is no problem at all.
Okay. I've noticed, too, that it actually seems like it's a little bit more of the soil has come away from the trunk, so it's actually done a little more work for me.
That's fine.
It's made it better, you know, so that I didn't have to do it myself anyway. Okay. If you use hydrogen peroxide to aerate an area of your lawn or something, I know that's bad for the beneficial. So how long should you wait before you put out your more beneficial nematodes or something like that? Because if it's in the soil, I don't know how long it takes to dissipate or if you have to wait quite a while.
Hydrogen peroxide turns into oxygen and water in a real quick, real short period of time. So you could put hydrogen peroxide out and wait an hour or so and put out beneficial nematodes, and there wouldn't be any impact on the nematodes from the peroxide at all. Now, if you put out the beneficial nematodes and then turn right around and sprayed a real strong solution of hydrogen peroxide right on them right after you've applied them, you'd probably do some damage. So, you know, just use a little common sense, and using the two together is really no problem. It's just they can't be done right at the same time.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I knew there was a certain order, and I figured that was it. I just didn't know if I needed to wait a week, but it sounds like I don't have to wait long.
Yeah, hydrogen peroxide breaks down very quickly.
Okay.
All right.
And there's this little insect that I have, a little flying insect that I've seen flying around, and I can't catch one. They're so fast to figure out what it is, but it's almost stealth-like.
There's a bunch of no-see-ums around right now, and I don't know for sure what all of them are. You might look at our Texas bug book. We have some of the little ones in there. I'm going to need to run.
Okay, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, be back right after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478, or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back. Birds are back. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Glenda is in Garland. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Howard. It's good to talk to you.
Same here.
We have a question. We've been listening to you for years, even before you came to this station. And about 5 years ago, we put down St. Augustine, but we've had problems with it every year. And we've done everything. We've tried to go organic and do everything we needed to. But now we're looking at zoysia grass. Is that something good to do?
Well, it depends, Glenda. Tell me about what the problems have been in the past. Are you a shady
lawn? We're sun, and we're 1,400 square feet lawn, so it's like a zero lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in between the houses is where that's our best St. Augustine, actually. And it's partial shade there. Everything else is partial sun, a sun to partial sun.
Okay.
And we've had brown patch, and we've had armadillos, and we've had a little bit. And right now, all the other grasses seem to be taking over our St. Augustine. We have Bermuda, just everything. Okay. So that we're just getting frustrated.
Well, the armadillos are going to be a problem no matter what kind of grass you have.
I've when got it's them, dry.
I've got them just moved, they just moved into our backyard area back in the bamboo and are digging under the edge of the dog running greenhouse area. And I'm going to have to start trapping them again. We haven't done that for a long time. So they're a tough problem. But the St. Augustine not doing well, and the Bermuda moving in is, I'm scratching my head about a little bit. So you basically have half a day of sunlight on the grass?
Well.
Or do you have that much?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, at least a half a day.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Zoysia will work in that situation. It is less shade tolerant, no matter what anybody else says, than St. Augustine. St. Augustine is the most drought, the most shade tolerant.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just curious about why you've had so many problems. Do you have a automatic irrigation system?
No, not. We water. We set up sprinklers and hose. Just with that small of an area, yeah, we've just done it ourselves.
Okay. Well, the biggest problem then is the encroachment of weeds and Bermuda grass not dying out or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, the Zoysia would be okay and maybe give you what you want better, except for a couple of things.
Okay.
One is you've got to plant it solid sod. It is the slowest growing grass there is.
Okay.
And it's got to be planted solid sod. You can't spot sod it or do anything like that. Right. You'll end up with a mess. So you've got the expense of doing that. And then the second thing is that if anything happens to it, if you don't water quite well enough since you're doing it manually and it dies out in spots and the here and there, it won't recover. It won't spread and cover areas that have been killed or damaged for whatever reason.
Okay.
So you end up having to plant more solid sod for it to look good again. I'm thinking that maybe you ought to try to get some more St. Augustine grass, maybe a different variety, maybe some of the newer ones that are out there, and spot sod it in the weaker areas, and just be a little bit more careful about your watering. I'm thinking that maybe that's our culprit, is that you've let it maybe a few times get a little on the dry side since you don't have a sprinkler system.
Well, and of course we, had water restrictions too, we had to, go with that.
Well, now the Zoysia is going to need just as much water as the St. Augustine grass. So you're not going to have an advantage there. If you want to go with something that's going to require less water, you're going to need to look at buffalo grass, and buffalo grass is the one that needs the most sun.
Yeah.
So
that wouldn't probably work for us. Okay, well, I guess our other question, the second question, and this was the last, if we do go with a different grass, we have to get rid of what we have. And actually, it's getting pretty thick, even though it's a variety. How would we take out what we have?
Well, just do it yourself or hire a landscape contractor to come over and use shovels. A lot of them will use a flat shovel and just take out an inch and a half. Some people will use a sod cutter and cut it out. That's the most efficient way. And just cut out an inch and a half, take it all out, clean that way. You don't worry about the roots. Grass will not grow back from the roots, only from the stems, and which are the rhizomes and stolons.
Okay.
So you cut it out either by hand or with a sod cutter, and then you put in the new grass. Now, look, if it were mine, I'll tell you what I would do that sounds like you're not thinking about.
Okay.
I would allow the Bermuda and the St. Augustine to mix.
Okay.
And be there and let grow what wants to grow in there and be green, mow it on a regular basis, and just enjoy a mixed species turf.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it does look good.
Yeah, that's what I do, actually. I don't mind that mix at all. Some people do. And if you want to have a pure monoculture, that's fine. We have a lot of gardens that demand that and require that.
Right.
But if you don't have to have it, why not just okay. let it grow together?
And then in the backyard, we do have some yellow St. Augustine.
Okay.
And we do have probably a drainage problem. We know that.
Okay.
That would cause it.
Mm-hmm. That would cause it.
Okay.
Can we fix the drainage problem?
Well, we're looking at that.
Okay. Try to do that, surface drainage, put in an underground drain line, or at the very least, dig a sump pit that you could actually pump water out of from time to time if you had to. That's the least effective way to go, but it does work if you pump it out every now and then.
Okay. Well,
good
thank
luck.
You
Just
very much. We appreciate it.
Let it all grow together.
Okay. Thank you.
Talk
Bye-bye.
To you. Some people will badmouth buffalo grass because they say Bermuda will encroach and ruin it. I don't get that. I think that those two grasses look fine growing together, and there are parks, there are golf courses, there are residential properties where Bermuda and buffalo grass are growing, and you can adjust which one you want the most and which one that will overtake by adjusting the watering and the fertilizing. Cut the fertilizer way down, cut the watering way down, Bermuda grass will be pushed out by the buffalo. If you fertilize and water a lot, your Bermuda is going to encroach on the buffalo grass. But if they're growing together, I think it's fine. They can both be mowed the same way. You can mow both of them anywhere from a half inch to 4 inches high, too. So that's not a problem. And we've all of a sudden got open line, 866-444-3478. Here's Bob in Crescent. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Quickly, I've got a Leyland cypress. Went out one morning, and it was kind of hanging at a 45-degree out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like something had pulled it over. And how do I go about? It's about 7 feet tall. What's a good way to get it straightened up?
Well, interesting question. How old is it? How long has it been there?
5 odd years.
About 5 years. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, that plant is a problem. And I've seen it in commercial projects downtown. I've tried to help people with it, and I've tried to help others. It is an introduced plant. You know, it's not from mm-hmm. here. It's from Asia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's got a fatal flaw. It's got something about it that makes it more likely to get fungal diseases. It normally is manifest up in the foliage. But, you know, it also will affect the root system and make the root system weaker. And, of course, if it came originally in a container and had circling and girdling roots and peat moss ball and all that stuff, that adds to the issue. So I can tell you how to straighten it, but telling you how to have it healthy for a long period of time going forward, I may not be able to help you with that. What I would do is do something kind of similar to what I was talking about. With smaller plants to an earlier caller, get some reinforcing mm-hmm. rod, and on the side away from the lean, in other words, the side it's leaning toward, I mean, the direction it's leaning, go on the other side of the tree,
right.
pull the tree up, and in this case, put a reinforcing rod 5 or 6 feet long and drive it down into the ball. One
like a T-post.
Yeah, down into the ground, holding that root ball that is moving up, holding it down. That's the mm-hmm. way I would stake it. Rather than putting a stake and tying something to the trunk and trying to pull it over, I would try to anchor that root ball into the ground better.
Okay.
You see what I mean? And if you can use a T-post or something that has a top turned on it so it, you know, works as a staple to hold the ball better. That's better than just having a straight rod if you can get mm-hmm. that done.
I'm with you. Okay. Also, it's kind of interesting. I planted 5 in a row,
mm-hmm.
and 3 of them took off like crazy, and 2 of them were stunted for 2-3 years. And I thought, what's going on here? And then I noticed that there were some little, I'll call them pine cone thingies, that were on the two that were stunted. So I took and said, well, this is the difference. So I pulled them off, and they took off. It was kind of interesting.
It was the fruit of the tree?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, well, it's
what I said.
The Leyland cypress is very sensitive to wet feet. And a lot of times when you have Leyland cypress in a row, the ones that will be the weakest and not growing as well and will show up this fungus will be the ones on the lower end of a row of plants. Is that what's going on there?
No, they were right in the center.
Right in the middle? Well, if you probe that area, you might find there's a perched water table there or it's staying maybe wetter in that spot. If you replant, consider the native eastern red cedar rather than Leyland cypress.
That's what I would do this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've already got them in there. And
I understand.
A couple of them are 15 feet tall. One last question, if I could.
Well, let me tell you one thing real quick. First, do the sick tree treatment for the whole area, and that'll probably help a lot. What was your other question?
And my last question is, I planted some vincas about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and they started to get established, but
I'm going to have to put you on hold. I'm sorry, and take a break. I'll talk to you off the air. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be right back. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Howard back. Let's talk to Dave in Kansas, somewhere in Kansas. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Garrett. Actually, I'm on my way to Kansas. Going to lay yet another World War II soldier in his final resting place.
Well, I'll be darned. Okay.
But I have a question that's, pun intended, been bugging me for years. A young tree, whether you plant a young tree or like I do, plant most of mine from seed, as it grows, and you know those lower branches are going to come off eventually, is it best to prune them as the tree grows, or do you leave them on as long as you can? And my mind takes it two ways. My mind says, one says leave as many leaves on the tree as you can, as long as you can. And the other one says, no, take those leaves off, those branches off, that you know are going to come off, so the tree puts its energy into the branches that you know are going to stay.
Well, the you probably have already figured this out. I think that the way you said that indicates that you know that leaving as much foliage on the tree as you can is the thing to do. Leaving the low limbs for at least the first 2 years after planting a tree is what's commonly recommended, and I agree with that. I just took some low limbs off of a lacy oak, a big tooth maple, and a Mexican white oak that I planted in experimental gardens this past winter, and they've been planted now for 5 years, 4 or 5 years. So, and some of them were as close as a foot to 18 inches from the ground. When you leave those lower limbs on a tree for as long as you can, what happens is you get more trunk diameter growth. You get more you just get more growth in the tree. You get more root system, and you get a larger, thicker, healthier trunk by doing that. So without question, leaving those low limbs on is important to do. On the other hand, something that's important to do from the other direction is to eliminate some of the limbs that are growing up, where you have limbs that are competing. It's called codominant branching or codominant growth. Two limbs that are growing pretty much in the same direction and have a very tight V instead of a U joint between them, you need to eliminate one of those. And the best thing to do is to step back and see which one looks like it would be the strongest and the best one to leave. And even if the other one looks pretty healthy and pretty close, one of them should come off. And ideally, even though a lot of trees have a candelabra branching effect, a lot of them will tend to try to have a single strongest stem or branch in the center, and having that one and then everything else coming off of it, in a lot of cases, is the very best, most healthy branching situation for a tree. You create that when they're real young. You don't wait until they're real old and you've got the limbs all growing together and all that and try to do it at that point.
Okay, that all makes sense to me. Another related question.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of live oak trees that I planted 2 years ago. Last summer I was gone for an extended period. The trees didn't get watered. A couple of them died back. I thought they were dead. They have now greened up, branches coming out maybe a foot above the ground, or one of them about 3 foot above the ground. What's going to happen with those trees? Are they going to be able to develop into a decent-looking tree?
Well, you can take a tree that's pretty messed up, whether it's storm damage or it got dry for a period of time or something happened traumatically to it, and bring it back into a healthy condition, especially with the organic program, with organic fertilizers and the sick tree treatment and all that. There's only one caveat about that, and that is if during that process the root system was severely damaged and a big portion of it died, they'll have a long, hard struggle coming back to being healthy. But as long as the root system is still in pretty good shape, you can take a really messed up tree, as far as the top of it goes, and bring it back into a healthy condition.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay.
And the pecan trees that I'm transplanting right now, they're just came up this spring, maybe a foot high or so, and I'm transplanting those. What kind of a pecan am I going to get? I mean, these are from the nuts that have fallen on the ground. They're an Indian variety.
Well, there's no way of knowing because you don't know who the parents are. You know, you don't know how the breeding was cross-pollinated and done and so forth. So a lot of the native trees produce small pecans that have extremely high levels of quality oil. In other words, the flavor's terrific, and a lot of people that make pecan products like those small pecans that have the really good oil, but you just never know. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they'll revert back to some sort of a native.
Well, it may be.
I love those native pecans.
That's probably what you're going to get. I appreciate your call. Those of you that are holding, hang on. I'll talk to you before I get out of here. Sorry I didn't get you on the air, but we'll chat before I get away from here. My golf tournament's been canceled, so I'm in no rush. I've enjoyed being with you today. Hope it stops raining for a while here around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Wherever you are, hope your weather's good. Hope you're enjoying your gardens at least some. And, of course, I want you to always remember to feed and water the birds. Remember our website, too. It's dirtdoctor.com. Go to it and get on board our newsletter. It's free. Just send us an email that you want to be a part of it, or fill out the form that's right on the homepage. Enjoy being with you. See you next time.